okay, bring a bizarre radio, and you see it's 11 o'clock. Bam.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can only your people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We Ashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great day. This is Wednesday. Got to get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope wherever you are, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, you're going to get it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we love you and appreciate you for that, getting things done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives, timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with African pose. Click on and lead you to previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, after my program, not right after, but in the evening, all times I'm going to give are Eastern times, is Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Didn't come on last night. I was going to be on his program. He had some internet. That's the thing about this. Sometimes internet goes out, so this is all about the internet. So, but Dr. Rogers will be back next Tuesday in his regular time slot from 8 to 10 on Tuesday night, Black Reality Think Tank. Tonight, Wednesday night, 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. Thursday from 7, Relationships with Joy and Troy, from 7 p.m. on Thursdays. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Saturdays. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it ain't me. It is Sister POC in her program, Revive, Proof of Consciousness, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. Check it out. If you are in the Atlanta area, you can go to the Greenbrier Mall and check out the kiosks that they have in the Greenbrier Mall or WeBuyBlack. You can get your laundry detergent, batteries, toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant, all kinds of good stuff from WeBuyBlack.com. AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. My good brother Bomani Tahimba, who is taking another group of our people this month, May 22nd to June 4th, to Ghana. Still only $3,700. There is room available, and you can be a part of it. You can give Brother Bomani a call. Go online to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, to give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to check out photos of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out video of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. He's also going to South Africa at the end of the year, November 22nd to December 2nd, going to Johannesburg and Cape Town. And then at the very end, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, he'll be going to Ghana once again. So any of these tours you can take advantage of. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta. Shrine of the Black Madonna, open Wednesday through Saturday, 12 noon to 7 p.m. and Sunday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And they have books, they have artwork, they have furniture, they have clothing, they have everything you need. They have the red, black, and green shoes. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. They also have a history program every Saturday, African history program, Know Thyself, free and open to the public every Saturday at 1:30 p.m. till 3:30 p.m. for 2 hours. Brother Olatunji does an outstanding job. If you cannot make that, but you want information, you want the history, you can get the history at the Black History Multimedia Library. That is right, brothers and sisters. You can have in your possession over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. Wow. That is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment right there at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. You can get that for yourself. That's for sure. Other bookstores here in the Atlanta area, I hope that you have a bookstore near you. If you do, please support it. Have your friends support it, because it's more than just books. The bookstore here at the Greenbrier Mall, right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black, is the Medu Bookstore. Medu means writings. There's a word that goes after Medu, and that word is Netcher, Medu Netcher. That is what the Greeks called hieroglyphs. The Kemetic people call them Medu Netcher, the writings of God, the writings of the gods, Medu Netcher. And the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, if they don't have the book they're looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. Another bookstore that we promote is Brother Kazimde Ajamu, Black Dot. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Call my brother, because there is light in the Black Dot. He also has books. He'll get the book you desire if you need to. He also has the red, black, and green shoes. In fact, there's some new ones come out. That's NASGAS. There's some new ones. I got the UNIA, which is all white ones with red. Nice. But there's a soft running shoe. And that is, you know, the ones I wear all the time are the Nat Turners. Love them. Comfortable. Wore them throughout Africa. Great walking shoes. Great shoe. I'm definitely going to get another pair. But they have this new one out, and it's Khalid Muhammad. The Khalid Muhammad. You know I got to get that shoe. Love me some Khalid Muhammad. Yes, sir. Love when he was on Donahue's show with that kente cloth sport coat he had on, and his hair was just glistening. I mean, it was just blinding. That's right, Khalid Muhammad. Ulu. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, cooperative economics, but as we like to say, family-centered economics, the Ulu Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night, 9 p.m. The number to call on Blog Talk Radio is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and that is the Ulu Thursday night broadcast. Of course, you know, Ulu is a cooperative. We pull monies together to provide goods and services for our people. And what we have done here in the Atlanta area, pull our monies together to create Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu. Located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. 2036 Sylvan Road. And we sell coffee. That's right. We have Cameroon. We have Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, where coffee started. We have coffees from other parts of the world. And teas, loose teas, everything in Cafe Ulu is produced by us. Everything. Check it out. Go online and check it out. Buy some of the coffees. And another product we sell at Cafe Ulu is Ambrosia, Brother Novak Young's Vitality Drink, Ambrosia. He's going to have a new champagne coming out. It's going to be delicious. Believe me. So we'll talk more about that as well. get him back on the line, and we'll talk about that. Akabin Institute, an Akabin house. Akabin Institute, we are asking you to please send money. Send money to the Akabin Institute at Akabin House. And we're asking you to donate. The brother who has done an outstanding job, and we need to support him. We definitely do. We need to support our brother. And P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia. And let's go there. Let me go with, I'm going to do that, but I'm also going to do, I'm talking to myself. I'm also going to do the complementarity conference that's coming up. I don't see it here. I'm looking, and I know that you want to know about that at the end of the month, May 31st and June 1st at the Sweetwater over on Metropolitan Parkway, the Complementarity Conference. But let me finish up with Akabin House and P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Also, too, you can go to PayPal and Cash App to donate your financial donations, whether it's weekly or something like that. But it's, all of it is greatly appreciated and needed. And the Complementarity Conference is coming up, and that is going to be at Sweetwater, located on Metropolitan Parkway. And that is May 31st with a meet and greet that Friday night. And then June 1st, it's going to be at the Sweet Spot on Metropolitan Parkway. And that is going to be the conference. And the conference is $20 an individual and $35 a couple. Also, too, Abacus and Tsum Tsum, African Spiritual Warfare, this Saturday at Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia. Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia. Winning the theme for this year, winning the race war, building world African sovereignty. Building world African sovereignty, the African promise. Winning the race war, building world African sovereignty in the spirit of our ancestors of Dr. John Henry Clark, Bobby Wright. Of course, you know, I did the Bobby Wright piece this past Monday. Love Dr. Bobby Wright, a tribute to Bobby Wright, and Frances Cress Wells. Definitely want to do a tribute to her and her work, of these great psychologists. Also, too, Dr. Amos Wilson. These were men and women who told us about how messed up our minds are because of the work they're doing. Or the work that they have done. So, and then Juneteenth Day, I have the Juneteenth Day flyer. Juneteenth Day is June 19th, but here in Atlanta, we celebrate that weekend before 14th, 15th, and 16th, and I'll give you details on the Juneteenth Atlanta with the music, the parade, the park, all of it. Get ready for Juneteenth Day, the weekend of 14th, 15th, and 16th, the weekend of the 6th, 14th here in Atlanta. The Inye Sesim, the Book of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts. I read all the way up until yesterday, and yesterday's was Drusilla Dungy Houston. And of course, you know, I love Drusilla Dungy Houston for her outstanding work on 1926. 1926, she wrote the book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. She has a quote, and I did it Monday, and I'll do it again today. She has a quote that I think is most profound. She said, "I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our race dare not refute." Then she says, "How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past?" That's why, you know, our leadership is misleadership. And that is just not here. It's global. The because we don't know who we are. We don't know what we've done. We've been trained to believe by the European that we ain't never done nothing, that we're running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created anything of any kind. And it's nothing but a lie. Inye Sasim, May 1st. The eminent man who works for the rehabilitation of Africa's intellectual personality deserves to be respected all the more because they had to undertake unaided the task of fundamentally remolding their own store of knowledge, which bore all the marks of the colonial domination. Bent as it was on deliberately refusing to acknowledge the intellectual and moral personality of African people. Ahmed Sékou Touré. Sékou Touré. To start from scratch, from total ignorance of self, no, from even a resolute hatred of all that self means in the context of being part of the geocultural fabric of our historical people, and to raise to champion the righteousness of one's people's vision of reality in the face of all that has so meticulously worked to transform that gift into less than it is an effort deserving of the utmost respect, I say. This is not an old aspiration or vocation. It is not something we find only among those of our motherland's past liberation movements. We see these unstoppable women and men all about us today also. Everywhere we find African people oppressed, which is everywhere we find African people. This courage to be free of the yoke of another man's mind in the face of seemingly overwhelming odds and ignorance is indicative of one of the most honorable character traits African people have consistently offered as an example of what it truly means to be human, to be resilient. This eminent Africans should not go without knowing their worth to us. Affirm, I have risen to champion the righteousness of my people's vision of reality. Affirm, I have risen to champion the righteousness of my people's vision of reality. Ashe, Inye Sasim. You know, I've had a quote about power. You know, Dr. Wade Nobles, the clinical psychologist in the San Francisco Bay Area, Oakland, so forth. He had a power, I never forget it, and I heard him when I first heard it, I was like, wow. He said, power is not information. Because if the information you receive is flawed and inaccurate, and the history you receive is flawed and inaccurate, and it is, and you know it, you can't derive power from that. Power is not politics. Power is not money. What is power? Power is the ability to define reality. Then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. I repeat, power is the ability to define reality. Then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality. They went around the world imposing that reality on all other people and made them accept that reality as if it's their own. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in Europeans' reality? Initially, we were soulless people, no culture to speak of, justifying our captivity, justifying our enslavement. Then we were people who have no culture, justifying the colonization and taking of our land. Who are we in their reality today? We're thugs, drug addicts, no fit fathers, no fit mothers. That's who we are in their reality today. So we must shape reality and fashion it in our image and our interest as opposed to what the Caucasian has done. Because what he has done, you know, it has never been and never will be a benefit for us. So the bottom line is, we must shape reality in our image and in our interests. And the only way to do that is through knowledge of self. It's knowledge of self. So when you think about brothers and sisters who had the courage to be who they are and to do what they do, we understand that these brothers and sisters are courageous. and they deserve. They deserve our applause. They deserve our commitment. They deserve all that they get for all the sacrifices they have made to bring that understanding to us. So I have today, or today's Wednesday, I haven't had this brother on the program for quite some time, but you know, every Wednesday, me and this brother would chop it up. And so being that day, once again, I have with me, brothers and sisters, Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix.
Hello, my brother from another mother. It was a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, hey, it's always an honor, man, to have you here on Wednesdays. But in fact, this is a milestone here because this is the last Wednesday you're going to be on this program with me because you're going to have your own program.
Yes, I'll be following you right after your show next Wednesday and Monday.
All right.
I look forward to it.
Oh, no, I look forward to it, man. I look forward because what happens is it's like a tag team kind of thing. I come and then, you know, I might throw some jabs, you know, but you come in with the uppercut, left hook, and the right cross. See that's how that's going to work,
yes,
you know.
Definitely. I look forward to following
I'm coming
you.
With the setup, you know, bam, bam, bam.
You are a hard act to follow. I want you to say I know that. You are definitely a hard act to follow.
Well, we're going to do all that we can to enlighten our people, to work on the minds of our people, because we understand that the struggle is for the African mind. You know, it is a fact and a reality that we are at war, when we have been warred upon, and because of the minds that our people have, they don't have a damn clue of what the hell's going on. They don't have a damn clue. And so those of us who will try to help our people understand this, and in fact, a lot of our people don't want to hear this. There's, you know, to me, aside from all, and I'm not saying, you know, I have a great radio program because I know I don't, and I'm not a journalist. I'm not none of that. I'm a brother who loves Africa and loves Africans. All around this world, wherever we are, I love and I hold in high regard those brothers and sisters who struggle and who fight against the tyranny and the oppression of others, whether they're in Papua New Guinea. You know, West Papua New Guinea, you know what's happening there with the Indonesians just oppressing those people and trying to take their land. Or any other place where there's injustice, any other place where there's fascism, racism, any other place. So that's me. And so I'm welcoming my good brother and friend, Brother Franklin Jones. We're going to talk a number of things today. I hope you can join us. Of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. So what's been happening, man?
Hey, preparing my show for next week. I look forward to it. But it's always an honor to come here. Even after I get my own program, I still want to come and periodically visit you and do shows with programs with you also.
That's for sure. And I'm going to be coming on your program.
You got that right.
Yeah, you know. I was supposed to come on Dr. Rogers' program. Unfortunately, he had some internet issues yesterday, but I'm glad to see that he's back. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see Dr. Rogers is doing well.
Yes,
you
me
know.
Too.
Also, too, my good sister, Sister Marcia Lee, she has a new job, so she's trying to get acclimated to that. But she still said that she's going to broadcast sometime in the very immediate future. We look forward to her coming on Time for an Awakening as well. She used to broadcast in Cleveland, Ohio, where she lived. She presently now lives in the Atlanta area. So other programming, and I know Brother Elliot has been trying to get Brother Paul and the folks from the UK to present stuff. So, you know, we're just trying to make sure that when you turn on Black Talk Radio Network, there's a plethora. In fact, Black Talk Radio Network is the number one radio podcast for Black folks in the country. Yep. And we're on that, and we need to learn to utilize that to its utmost so your voice, my voice, and others can get out there as strong as can be, and all the other voices. Because once again, what's most important for us at this stage of our struggle is information. Is information. I recognize radio, whether it's AM or FM, being commercial or even public, they have to raise money. And they have to have commercials. And a lot of times, what I talk about, a lot of people wouldn't want to support that, you know? Mm-hmm. Especially corporate America ain't going to support that.
No, they won't.
You know? So.
The oppressors will never support liberating knowledge. They want to keep us mentally enslaved. Yeah. They will never give the information that you need to escape their bondage. Yeah. And we must recognize that. In fact, the way the system is designed, black people who become millionaires in the society are those who make white men into billionaires. That's how the system is built. We have to understand that.
And given that reality that those of us who have this kind of voice, that's why there's not on commercial radio. I think there's some individuals who are on commercial radio would be a lot stronger, but they know in order for me to stay on, I can't go there. I can't say that. I can't do that. So they always have a more political voice dealing with partisan politics, issues of the current day that are fluffed, as far as I'm concerned, you know. And I understand that. And plus that, too, they get paid. I don't get paid. I pay to do this. This is my love. This is my challenge for us as a people. You know, I'm trying to put something on our minds. I'm trying to get us to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed us in to look at the situation truly for what it is. I'm trying to get us to release that damn vice grip that these crackers have on our minds. And if you understand that too, you just can't, once the crackers set the vice grip, you just can't come along and pull it apart. No, you got to turn that knob at the end of the handle to release that tension. Metaphorically, symbolically, turning that knob at the end of the handle is acquiring knowledge of self by our scholars and our historians, our elders, our ancestors. Men and women who understood that we must be a liberated people. Men and women who understood that we must be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign as a people. Those are only people I'm listening to. Because if you ain't saying that, you ain't saying shit. Had to catch myself, you know, man. Had to catch myself.
Yes, my brother. I feel your pain. I understand your passion. You know, there's a question. How long does it take for people who have been lied to about everything to wake up? That's our situation. We are a people who have been lied to about everything. So now as a people, we now fight to defend lies that our ancestors fought to resist. We fight harder to defend white man lies than he does. There is so much misinformation that is being spread, but we must learn the truth. We must develop a clear and concise understanding of our plight and our condition in order to overcome them, in order to liberate ourselves. Because if our understanding of our plight is flawed, then all remedies that stem from this misunderstanding will also be flawed. We must get a clear and concise understanding of our plight. True knowledge, the difference between true knowledge and false knowledge is this. False knowledge, such as your religion, such as the Willie Lynch story, imprisons the mind. True knowledge expands the mind, and the mind, once expanded to a greater radius, never returns to its original smaller size because the truth doesn't allow it. When you hear truth, truth makes you have a better orientation of your position. It gives you an orientation of where you're at. And today we're going to talk about truth. I'm not going to scream or yell. I'm going to talk to those of you who know you've been lied to, who know that a story you've been told doesn't make any sense, those of you who are critical thinkers, those who want your minds to expand because you want true liberation. Now, I've said this before, 2019 is the 400-year anniversary of the first slave that was born to America in bondage. If we are believing that our liberation will come from the Bible that was forced upon our ancestors, we're not thinking critically. If we believe our remedy comes from Willie Lynch, then we also not thinking critically. We have been studying these ideologies for many, many years, and have we been liberated? No. It has kept us in a state of complacency, ignorance. Today, we want to talk about the truth of our condition and plight. If you believe that it was we African-Americans that made the N-word into our own word, then you're ignorant or naive or perhaps a little of both. The true reason why millions of African Americans now refer to themselves as being niggers is actually a true testament to the immense power of white media social engineering. White social engineering scientists took the word of nigger, a word once deemed deeply offensive by millions of African Americans, and not only desensitized millions towards the words, but convinced millions to believe it's now a favorable term of endearment, that we are somehow empowered by it. But in reality, negative words negatively affect us on a subconscious level. Today we're going to talk about the negative media social engineering of black people. Of people who have been stripped of their history and their culture are also more susceptible of media social engineering. You know, we're going to reveal the power that words have upon our minds. You see, our ignorance of this system of control is the white oppressor's greatest weapon over us. So instead of arguing with me from a position of ignorance, learn the truth of what's being done to us, and then let's unify against our enemy from a position of gained knowledge. We must stop normalizing what they've done to us. It's not normal that many black people are now calling themselves niggers, bitches, and hoes. These are the result of negative white media social engineering. No, no, no. This is not some feeble attempt to wrongly blame whites in order to absolve ourselves of our own responsibilities. This is the damn truth that most people don't understand. Media social engineering is not a conspiracy theory. It is a covert, very well-crafted system of control that the ruling class use to manipulate and target populations. It is a practice that the white oppressors have used against black people for many years. Presently, there are white social engineering scientists that works unrelentingly behind the scenes manipulating the collective minds of black people. These men govern our minds, mold our opinions of the world and of ourselves through the information they present to us. Their ability to affect the beliefs and behaviors of many black people through their media contents is immensely powerful. So much, in fact, that if they wanted black youth to start walking around daily with Afro combs in their right pockets, all they would have to do is saturate the media, such as rap videos, movies, TV, magazines, with that image being depicted as cool and trendy. In doing so, our black youths would then imitate the image, adopting it, and believe that it's their own style, while in truth, it is a style created by white social engineering. This is all possible because perceptions created by the media leads to non-deliberate, thoughtful decision-making. It's called working below the level of consciousness. It's been called thinking without thinking. Most people think that the TV shows and movies are made for nothing more than entertainment. That never was the case. The greatest social messages are passed through movies. A group's identity of themselves is greatly formed by how they see themselves repetitively depicted within the media. Therefore, those who control the media image of a people are able to steer their culture. Because white media controllers control the media image of black people, this allows them to negatively tell us who we are. It allows them to negatively steer our culture. When these white social engineering scientists and propaganda designers create trends and customs for our black youth to imitate, they create those that get our black youth acting and dressing as caricatures that reinforces resentment and anti-black prejudicial perceptions. Moreover, those images that reinforces negative and racist views by black people, our black youths then become those caricatures of themselves that they accept as being their reality. I'll give you an example. Case in point, the sagging pants phenomenon. The sagging pants style did not come from slavery. If it had, the style would have been prevalent throughout our communities during the many years that followed slavery. It was not. It only became prevalent during the early 1990s. Nor did the style become the national phenomenon that it is because of the prison industry, wherein which most inmates are forced to wear Velcro fastening belts. In reality, for any style to become a national trend requires concerted effort, financing, and marketing. If not, the style remains local or regional at best. This is a fact. This is why marketing firms are hired by companies when seeking a national audience for their product. It was by actually inserting the sagging style into popular music videos, movies, and TV shows and portraying it as being cool and trendy that it became the national phenomenon that it is. The true reason why large numbers of black people now sag their pants, because the style was stylishly propagated through national media. The sagging pants phenomenon is a result of media social engineering. We have to understand this, that identity is taught to each group of people by how they watch themselves in the media. and a people who have been stripped of their culture are more susceptible to media social engineering. And I say, as I said earlier, this is not some frivolous attempt at scapegoating in order to absolve ourselves of our own responsibility by wrongly blaming whites. This is the damn truth that most people don't understand how media social engineering works. If you believe that it was we who made who decided to call ourselves niggers, then you are ignorant. Now, we have to understand why we were socially engineered to call ourselves niggers and how it happened. The reason why millions of African Americans now call themselves niggers is a result of media social engineering. You see, words directly affect our thoughts, and our thoughts are an important part of our inner wisdom, and they're powerful. A thought held long enough and repeated often enough becomes a belief. A belief becomes your biology. Words put a spell on our subconscious. Negative self-deprecating words affect how we think and how we function. This is why men that refer to women as being bitches and hoes have a greater tendency to mistreat women, because disrespecting women naturally comes easier for a man who regard them as bitches and hoes. It's also why women that proclaim themselves as being bitches start to become stubbornly unreasonable. It's also why men who proclaim themselves as being dogs are more often to cheat. It's also why men that proclaim themselves as being thugs are more likely to engage into a fight than to avoid a fight. Words have power over us subconsciously. We become what we routinely say that we are. This is a psychological phenomenon that white social engineering scientists have thoroughly researched. It therefore goes without saying that the most harmful self-deprecating term is when they socially engineer black people to believe that they're niggas. When we believe that we're niggas, we dehumanize our own people within our subconscious mind, and we are made to believe the less and the worse of ourselves. The narrative that is empowering and we did it ourselves is a propaganda narrative created by whites and spread throughout our community. Think about it. Have you ever wondered how is it possible that so many African Americans, perhaps now more than ever before in history, so favorably refer to themselves as niggers? The word nigger was often the last word heard just before many of our ancestors endured some of the most brutal atrocities inflicted upon them by whites. In many cases, it was the last word they heard just before being murdered. In spite of this brutal history, millions of African Americans now favorably call themselves niggers. How is it possible that such a degrading word is now favorably referred to as a term of endearment among African Americans? It is the result of media social engineering. White social engineering science took a word that was deemed revived and deemed offensive and programmed millions of African Americans to favorably perceive themselves as niggers. Now, today, the song, although the program is now routinely deployed through the white-controlled hip-hop industry, however, this industry merely reinforces the nigger programming into our newer generations. The nigger terminology was originally indoctrinated into the minds of African Americans decades ago, long before the hip-hop industry was created. It was originally done so by using the movie industry. You know, as I said earlier, most people think that movies are for nothing more than entertainment. This has never been the case. The greatest social messages are programmed, are promoted through movies. Social norms promoted through media can influence the way of thinking and the cognitive map of a populated audience. In a normal conversation, for example, you're using logic and facts. Your guard is naturally up. But when you're watching a movie, there's no debate. Your guard is down. The sensor part of your brain is not in action. It isn't saying, yes, I agree with this or I disagree with that, like you would in a conversation or debate. You're actually in an alpha state, being completely downloaded with ideas and images. This programming system was used to convince millions of black movie watchers during the 60s and early 70s that we were niggers. Up until the mid-60s, the word nigger was unfavorably viewed among African Americans. That era generation of African Americans had experienced a dehumanizing desegregation, and many also had grandparents who were born in slavery or experienced white racism, so they knew it was a negative word. But it was through the black exploitation films that we start calling ourselves niggers. These movies were written by whites, controlled by whites, and we watched the screen seeing our image calling each other niggers. Now, black exploitation is a term coined in the early 70s. It refers to those black films that were aimed at a black audience, featuring African-American actors in lead roles. The films frequently depict a stereotypical characterization and glorification of violence. It was that era's black exploitation film that first taught African-American youth on a national level that it was cool and trendy to call themselves niggers. In those films written, directed, and produced by white people, black actors were hired to shuck and jive and to repeatedly call themselves niggers. This nigger indoctrination process was repeated and reinforced countless times in many movies. Here was a list of just a few of those movies. The Black Klansman, Black Like Me, Black Lolita, Black Mama, White Mama, Black Rage, Scream, Black Killer Scream, Shaft, Shaft in Africa, Shaft Big Score, Sheba Baby. With each of these movies produced by white movie studios, black actors routinely called each other niggers. Some of these black films also blatantly included the word nigger in the title, such as The Boss Nigger, Run Nigger Run, and The Soul of a Nigger and Nigger Charlie. These were created by white people. They were programming us to believe that we were niggers. Those black exploitative films were well received by many African Americans audience because they provided a cinematic black heroes on the silver screen as portrayed as unseen before in Hollywood movies. Therefore, African Americans flocked to the theaters and drove to see these movies. Many black audience believing that these fictional movie accounts were truly an accurate representation of who we are, we started imitating them, including calling ourselves niggers. See, many people believe that the movies, the media reflects our reality. But in truth, it is most often we who imitate what we see within the media. Therefore, those who control the media image of a people are able to socially engineer those people. We sit watching the movie and we're seeing black people say, "What's up, nigga? What's up, nigga?" And then we go home and say, "Yeah, that's what we call ourselves. We call ourselves niggers." But we don't realize that we've been programmed through media manipulation. When black people believe they're niggers, they're subconsciously programmed to believe the worst and the lesser of themselves. And we dehumanize our people in our subconscious mind. Now, when we are calling each other niggers and we're constantly being programmed to believe that we are the worst of our enemy, this makes it easier to kill each other. You know, there is a covert war that's being deployed against us, and our ignorance of this covert war is our oppressor's greatest weapon over us. You know, this is why our black youth to regard themselves as niggers are the same ones wearing their pants sagging off their asses. The white prison industry is filled with black men that have been programmed to believe that they're real niggers. White social engineering scientists have deliberately programmed millions of black people to believe that niggas just to serve this agenda. Now, the narratives, as I showed you before, how we words affect us, like how a thug is more likely to engage in a fight than to avoid it, how a woman who proclaims herself to be a bitch becomes stubbornly unreasonable, words affect us. There is a negative programming connected to when we believe we're niggas. Now, when they introduced these new words with nigger, N-I-G-G-A, and niggas, okay, when they introduced these words, we're being manipulated. Here is why. When we gravitate to those sound-alike words do not liberate our minds. They reinforce the original negative programming because the subconscious mind doesn't see the different spelling. A person who calls himself niggas, U-G-S, nigger with an A, there's no difference in his mental state than the original programming of nigger, N-I-G-G-E-R. We have these ignorant people who go around saying, "Oh, we call some niggas, there's a different spelling, a different meaning." Our ignorance is being exploited. Our ignorance has been exploited. And then we have these rappers going around saying, "These rappers are not social engineering scientists. They're not propagandists. They don't understand the damage that they're doing to their community." Now, those of us who are truly awoke, we must fight back against the ignorance. We must become a voice against the ignorance. Because when the ignorance prevails throughout our community, it keeps our people in a state of mental slavery. It keeps our people in a state of degradation. We must stop normalizing what's being done to us. We must stop defending calling ourselves niggas. You see, we have to understand that our oppressors will never give us the knowledge to free ourselves. He will only give you information that keeps us in a mental state of bondage. Now, this system, I'm telling you, it is a true system that goes back to the Tavistock Institute, where they start studying how to control the masses. The white society controls the education we're taught. They control the media image we see. They control our societal narratives. And they learned a long time ago that by manipulating black people to believe the fraudulent less about ourselves is how they control us. There is a war against our minds. We have to recognize it. It's not some strange coincidence that millions of black people just happen to think just the way the white system, white supremacy wants us to think. You have millions of black people who perceive them, who are self-hating, perceive themselves as their own worst enemy, and thinks favorably of whites in spite of a brutal history to the contrary. You think this is a coincidence? This is a direct result of the fact of the monopoly that white oppressive forces have over our minds. Our problem is many of us have never heard of social engineering. Many of us have never heard of socialization. Within our media, within our school curriculum, there is social engineering that's happening. Now, many of you may realize that in the curriculum, you're programmed to be patriotic when they create these false stories of George Washington, I did not cut down the cherry tree, and they create these ideologies about who they were, the Paul Revere, all these myths that is designed to build patriotism into the minds of the young Americans. All governments try to instill, use propagandists to instill patriotism into the population. But what you don't realize is that there's also propaganda designed to instill the myth of white superiority into our mind. It's designed to mold our mind to think in ways that protect the system of white supremacy. And why? Why is this being done? See, you have to get a proper orientation of what's happening. Please. This is a fact of the human condition. Whenever a people are oppressed for long terms, their collective aggressions against the oppressive society will continue to grow until acts of retribution and rebellion against the dominant society becomes inevitable. This is what we saw during the 1960s. Okay, you see the difference between African Americans now in the 60s. Watch this. During the 1960s, African Americans were wearing afros and braids, and we were declaring that black is beautiful. We were calling each other brothers and sister. Hello, my brother. Hello, my sister. Nowadays, we see our people who are bleaching their skin, wearing blonde weaves, and is calling each other niggas and bitches. This is the effect that we're seeing today cannot be directly related to slavery, because the system is worse now than we saw in the 60s and the 70s. This is a result of a modern system, that started in 1968 to curtail the black population. They started using media population, the media manipulation to divide us. They started incorporating white propagandists, white social engineering scientists to subdue the black protests. During the 1960s, no group protested more than African Americans. No group in the history of America have protested and demand equality more than African Americans. So they create a program targeting African Americans. They control our education. They control our media narrative. They control everything we believe about ourselves. And they learn that they can control us. They can subdue us by continuously inundating us with fraudulent negative information about ourselves. We are constantly being demoralized. Have you ever noticed every time you turn the news on, there's something negative about black people? Clearly think. Do you not see how astronomically ridiculous it is to have such numbers that continuously denigrating one group? It is a method used for controlling us. We don't know our own state. Everything negative that black people believe about themselves collectively, they learn from white people. And then they keep saying it over and over, and it becomes a part of our rhetoric. You have black people who says if you want to hide from a black man, put it in a book. And you black people will argue it's true. That narrative comes from white people. The most effective way to subjugate and control a targeted population is to mislead them to believe that their core problem lies within themselves. And this is achieved by constantly demoralizing them. When a people is demoralized, they become self-hating. They become resentful towards their own. They turn against themselves. And they would look towards Some of our black people believe this. They say, you know what? We got to show white folks that we ain't all the same. And they go up to white people. They start speaking extra. They want to show whites we're not all the same. Our minds are being socially engineered. It's happening in our school system. It's happening in the media. Even in movies, when we're watching movies with a white hero saving the world. Black liberation will not happen by reading your false Bible that was forced upon our ancestors by those their enslavers. It will not happen by believing the silly Willie Lynch myth. It only happened when we develop a clear and concise understanding of what's being done to us. We must confront and eradicate the monopoly the white oppressors have over our minds. Several months ago on the show, a person called and was arguing with me because he says, Frank, black people on shit. You know why people on shit? And they don't recognize how their minds have been turned against themselves. You don't realize it. Even some of our so-called black revolutionary powder are calling each other niggers, 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 niggers. And you don't realize how the programming of niggers dehumanizes your own people within your own subconscious mind. The people, our greatest oppressors are not the Klans. The radicals with the white gowns on their head saying, niggers, niggers, niggers. Those people are merely a distraction. They're a distraction. The true ones who attack us most are the ones who control the education we're taught. The ones who control the media image we see. The societal narratives that we hear. They program us to believe the worst about ourselves. And once you are programmed to believe the worst about yourself, you only see what confirms the programming. I'm going to give you an example. There are some black men who because of program, they believe that white women treat you better. They believe that if you got married to a white woman, they treat you better. But in reality, your race does not affect how a woman treats you. But see, it doesn't matter to a propagandist. A propagandist is putting on the stories. Study shows that white women treat you better. Study shows that black women are more abrasive, more abrasive, more abrasive. Now, once a black person is programmed to believe that, he may have had 3 negative experiences with black women, but now it solidifies in his mind that it's true. And he would argue down, yes, the white media is true. Black women are abrasive. And then if you take them out to a function, and there are 50 black women there, and one black woman starts screaming and yelling. He'll say, see what I told you? Look, see what I told you? Black women, they're abrasive. But he will ignore the 49 black women who does not meet his programming. Once you are programmed to believe something, you only see those things that affirm the programming. And even though the greater number of things that's contrary to the programming, you ignore. We have to understand how the mind is being manipulated. Black people who believe the fraudulent worst about themselves, and then they only notice the negative things that confirms it. Every other day, I'll be black people say, Jerry, you know we fucked up. You know we messed up. You know we messed up. And there is no black person on this planet who is truly able to affirm and to quantify his negative perceptions of his people without relying on the white society's data and depictions. And the white society maintains their dominance over black people by giving us a fraudulent negative perception of our collective state. This is how they maintain their psychological dominance over us. They are a small group, but they place most of them in the media to make their numbers look larger. You have to understand psychological warfare. When they tell us that we represent only what is now 13% of the population, in reality, our numbers may be much higher. But a part of psychological warfare is to always tell the oppressed their numbers are smaller. I'll give an example. For decades, they were saying we were only 12% of the population. Now, and one of their propagandists says black people are screwing like bunnies. They're having so much baby, 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 and they're always on welfare. They're just having babies every freaking day. And then they would tell us, for decades, our population is still 12%. You're still 12%. Now, these narratives are contradicting themselves because the propaganda person uses to say that we're the slugs on the white society. We're having babies like crazy. But then they'll tell you, you're only 12%. And you look at the census, you're only 12%, you're only 12%. You have to understand, there are propagandas. As long as white society controls the information we receive, the information will always be designed to demoralize us, to divide us, to make us believe less of ourselves. Our perception of reality is a white deception because that's how they maintain their dominance. They control every damn thing we believe about ourselves, and they always can be feeding us information that implies their superiority. We have to understand. We have to understand. And I'm asking callers, those who are calling in, please stay on points on the subject because we have to recognize what is being done to us. We must overcome the monopoly the oppressors have over our minds. Psychological warfare.
My brother.
Woo!
You know, I pulled this quote. You dispute facts. You don't understand with myth you were forced to believe.
Yes.
This mindset keeps you in mental captivity and mental slavery.
Amen.
And it is our problem.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll take calls and more discussion on today, Wednesday, with my good brother, the Black People Matrix, Franklin Jones. Listen for him after my program on Mondays and Wednesdays. Right here.
Please tune in. Please tune in. I hope you
on Time for an Awakening and Black Talk Radio Network. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. You stay right here with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at TimeForAnAwakening@gmail.com.
To plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Peace. My name is Professor X the Overseer. And what you're about to witness is the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we're not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way, exist in a state of vainglorious, as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Letters to words, words to phrases, to paragraphs. Heed math as Jay begins class. Science of past is now brought to the rhyme fix. From the scroll, state to the verse. God to God, so God's to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to leave the army scene? Put the pause and never pause, as simply as the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comprehend. A man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever-radiant awareness brought forth the one.
open nine strokes shun. Practicing priests, standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to leave. Rosa Parks. Brought from the Genesis, will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. One must it be aggression to learn a basic lesson? Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. However, crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell, bringing hell to the sellouts. The ever tangled web we weave, always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Descendants of kings and queens act like justice, never potential, caught up in the measure. Jealousy of what are we becomes tendency for their thievery. Alright, cool, but no need to pull the tokens, that's a fool. I get my words like that in my school to produce the words that they dream about. It's another way of taking out these sissies who may try to extinct my principality. But of course I'm not having madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon for a few seconds, pull the reins and give the words of the brother. Mastering words on the verse. Funk is a force I jerk. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize a clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you natives will elect. Jay brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vanglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And even my demand makes stone seem soft. Corrupts all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you think today Brother J can find a better way? So be it. Plan it down and make it stay. I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I could never swear a person. Just hands me a step to the mic and stage area. As I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and places in the tenor. American a man, African a brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step on.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m., to 1 p.m. Other programming right here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Let's Buy Black 365 right after Acres of Diamonds from 8 to 9. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy, 7 p.m. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Other things I want to bring to our attention, and that, of course, is this Saturday, the 16th annual Abakas and Tsum-Tsum African Spiritual Warfare, honoring Dr. John Henry Clark and our African warrior ancestors like Francis Cress Welsing and Bobby Wright and so many others. The program, The African Promise, Winning the War, Building World African Sovereignty. So that is this Saturday. At Sweetwater State Park here in Lithia Springs, Georgia, which is just right outside Atlanta. So check that out. And then, of course, Brother Jamoke. Brother Jamoke Afenteyo, a good friend who was with in COBRA, which is, of course, the National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations in America. And they have their conference next month. Next month in COBRA. But he's having a party this Friday. It's going to be at the on the Griot Museum, which is 337 Dragoon Place, Southwest Atlanta. And Brother Jamoke, happy birthday to you, my dear brother. And I'm going to try to make it through there and give you some love. All right, dear brother, peace to you. And we're going to get back to the discussion. Thought I had a couple callers, and maybe that took too long. And he said, forget it. But please call back. The number to call is 215-490-9832. We're here today with my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. And, of course, he's going to be starting his program. He did broadcast one time, and I heard that went well. And so he's going to be broadcasting right after my program on Mondays and Wednesdays. So after you hear me talking, you're going to be hearing him talking, and I hope that you talk back to both of us, because that's what this whole thing is about. We want to hear what you got to say. We want to hear your feelings. But understand this. Please understand this. What we are talking about, we ain't compromising on nothing. We ain't bending on a damn thing, because we are at war, and we have been warred upon. We are at war for the minds of our people. This program, I tell you all the time, this program is like what Stephen Biko said, the most potent weapon in the hands of the cracker, the Caucasian, the hunky, whatever word, adjective you want to use, the oppressor, is the minds of the oppressed. And this program, just like Brother Franklin Jones's program, the Black People Matrix, is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. My program says not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the world's resources that everybody wants that they can't do without and they don't want to pay for. I just saw where they made some Chinese dude a chief in Nigeria. Oh, my God. So, you know, this attack on African people's minds is global. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is a global phenomenon. It is the reason why today everybody wears a damn business suit with a tie, no matter what country you're from, no matter what culture you're from, because Europeans have imposed their culture. I don't use the word race. I use the word culture. We do have a call. Good morning, 646, or good afternoon, 646.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie and to Franklin. I see that they gonna give your brother a show, man, huh?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I hope you'll be calling in too. I look forward to it.
I will attempt to. What time are you gonna be on from?
I'll be following my brother Oshie for the 2 hours following him. That's gonna be from 2 to 4.
From 2 to 4.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds good. That'll give me an opportunity to listen if I'm in the area. Hey, Oshie, quick thing right here. Did you hear about what happened to the master slick talking Negro, Michael Eric Dyson's grandson?
No, what happened?
Oh man, a little Yoruba Kakasoid devil threatened to go home and get his gun and shoot him. Mind you, these are 6-year-olds.
What?
He killed him?
Yeah, man. So what happened was, you know, Eric and his wife and his son had to run to the school. Now, I think the school is one of those elite Yoruba schools. I think it's Horace Mann Academy. Now, I know Horace Mann Academy here in New York City is one of those $40,000 a year schools. So if it's in Washington, it's probably 50. And now, mind you, think about it. So he had to go to the school, and, you know, I guess he protests or whatever. You know what I mean? He would have did spit the finest a big word. It's a Negro.
Yes, he is.
That's just who he is. So then the update today is that the little Yoruba devil's parents and I think grandparents came to school, and so they had a meeting to appease that Negro. And I guess the devils sold the sign Patrician, because I guess they must have looked up to find out who this Negro was. And I guess they not going to play that uppity white, you know, sugar, honey, iced tea with him, because, you know, he'll out talk her and he'll really get it popping. You know, so now he's back on Twitter asking black folks to, you know, send him messaging and stories about has this happened to their children or grandchildren. So I sent them a message saying, you know, it's a damn shame that Negroes like you always looking to appease these white folks. If you really wanted to appease white folks, you would stay your black behind out of their school and bring your kids to African people and let them educate them, because it's quite obvious that that little cracker learned early he don't want nothing to do with your black behind.
And you're right again, you know, Jay.
It's the mental sickness. It's the mental sickness of Negroes that just give their kids away to this cracker. They just give them to them, thinking that they're going to have a better position in this country. Nah, you're not going to have no better position, because that's dwindling. That's dwindling. What you need to be doing is putting yourself in the economic position to really take care of your grandchild, to transfer off some type of economic wealth. And it ain't like he's not a rich dude. He's a rich dude. Between the money he makes off of teaching, lecturing, and his books, he's supposed to be able to set his family off well. But it just seems like we as a people are constantly sending our kids to be educated by people who don't give a damn about them, who the children come into school and show them they don't give a damn about. I mean, think about this. Let's be real. What would be in the mind of a little six-year-old Yoruba to even say something like that? I'm going to go home and get my gun. What would be in the mind of a little Yoruba six-year-old to even have the nerve to call you the N-word? There's something going on here that we're not picking up.
Well, because he's constantly being told at his house that's who and what we are. And the fact that, you know, that there may be some of us in that school, in classroom, the resentment and the hatred towards us is exhibited.
Yeah, they use the word nigger to dehumanize us. Then they condition us to call ourselves niggers, so now we dehumanize ourselves. I mean, it's really deeper, and people have to recognize how deep it is in order to overcome it. We have to recognize what's going on.
Well, you know, I beg to differ with you slightly, Brother Franklin, because let me say this to you. If we stop using the N-word tomorrow, we'll still be in the same condition. It's deeper and broader than just using the word, because what has happened is we're getting into the position in our mindset that the word doesn't even mean anything, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. Now,
see,
the reason that
Jay, because your parents
haven't given you historical knowledge on the word.
Jay.
You don't even understand the context of the word. So that's why I say it's deeper than that.
And so what we're saying, Jay, what we're saying is what you just said. We don't understand the historical context of it, but yet we've been trained to use that word to describe one another. In fact, it got to such ridiculousness.
The word was placed upon us to dehumanize
it.
That's a fact.
You know,
and they socially engineer us to call ourselves niggas because we dehumanize ourselves. And when you call yourself a damn, you become what you call yourself. It's all a part. It's all connected. If we stop calling ourselves niggas, there would be some change because there's an entire war against our mind. There's not just one piece you have to correct. There are many, multiple facets of a war against our mind. We have to recognize the entire system and then eradicate it.
And so if we stop, hold on, Jay. If we stopped calling ourselves that, in fact, it is so deep that many of us have used it as an acronym, N-I-G-G-A, nigga, never ignorant, getting goals accomplished. Now, I'm going to say this. If that was a fact that we are not ignorant and we're getting our goals accomplished, then me, Brother Oshie, would be going, nigga. But that's not the case. I don't use that word to describe us. You know, Jay, I cuss. But I don't use that word to describe us, and nor do I use bitch to describe our women. Because the fact of the matter is I understand it clearly and how it affects the African mind. So well, the reality
is... I'm not going to use it basically at all. Now, as far as the B word go, I'll call the white woman that in a minute, because that's what she is to me. You understand? As far as sisters go, I'm not going to go there with him with that because it's no basic reason to. I'm at the point in my age where I don't even argue with a woman. That's the most wasted expression in the world. You know what I mean? I remember the last time I almost got into it in the supermarket with a sister, and you know she was getting ready to do a thing. You know what I mean? And I said to her, look, you're an African sister. There's no need for us to even get into anything with one another to entertain these people. I respect you. And I said nothing else to her. Now, she wanted to go there, but just basically she couldn't say anything because of the reply that I gave her. To her, you know what I mean? So she had to catch herself, you know, and give the mean mug look and, you know, mumble nonsense. But that's expected in a sense. But the point of the matter is we have to get to the point to where as we're defining our reality and how we respond to situations. But, you know, it just kills me when I see these people who give their kids to the enemy and then get upset when the enemy starts to act and behave in the manner in which they do. That to me is madness. You know, you don't even think enough of your child to put them in the right educational environment. You're putting them in a situation where you think that he's going to get something, but in reality, all it's going to do is castrate his spirit. You know what I mean? The worst thing in the world is to see a Negro with European values.
I say.
That's the worst thing in the world. Yeah. That's the most confused thing in the world. It's like looking at a Negro like Armstrong Williams on a daily basis.
Exactly.
That's becoming.
Well, let me get some other callers in here. You want to hang on? Go ahead, and I'll get Brother Frank to respond. All right, Brother Jay?
Go ahead, brother.
All right. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie. Good afternoon, and good afternoon, Brother Frank, and good afternoon, Jay. Marcus.
Hey, Brother Marcus.
Here.
Hey, Brother Marcus.
So, you know, another in reference to what the Brother Franklin was talking about, that word nigger. You see, also, when that word takes us out of the human family because there is no niggerland anywhere on the planet. You see, if you say a man is a Chinese, if you say a man is a Indian or a European, you can look to China, you can look to India and see the mass majority of the, you know, that man. But when you call us a nigger, there is no land you can associate with black people when you say nigger. So it takes us out of the human family.
Yes.
You see, and that's the purpose. They say that brother say we dehumanize us.
Yes.
You see, because we are reduced to nothing.
And they also dehumanize the African American image in front of Africans. You know, they propagate to the Africans that we are niggers, not Africans. Many of us have really adopted the ideology that we are niggers and not Africans, not even connected to it anymore. We have to recognize how the system works. There are people who are PhDs who are working on our minds. We have to recognize it.
Go
ahead, Marcus.
So he's correct. You know, there is no niggerland nowhere, because you can't associate. You see, and they have been, you know, that's why it took so long for us to reach a point to say we are Africans. You see, because that was the whole purpose of them dehumanizing us and erasing Africa from the mind of black people. You know, so first we were niggers. Then we were Negroes, then we were colored, then, you know, we got to black, and then finally, and that took years.
As Brother Oshie was saying, when he said true power is the ability to create your own narrative and impose it upon people. Our reality, our narratives are created by whites, and they impose it upon us, and we start functioning based upon the narratives they place upon us. It was they who told us that we're Negroes. It was they who teach us that we're niggers. We have to understand they intentionally separate us from Africa.
Yep, correct. So I agree with you, Brother Franklin. Tell you.
You know, back to what I was saying earlier. You know, the minds of some black people have been so inundated with negative, demoralizing information about themselves that it's literally easier for many to continue believing the fraudulent worst about themselves than to accept the fact that they're being lied to about themselves. You know, so often when I do my public speaking, you'd have those, right now there are those who are listening who say, man, I don't care what he's saying. I know we are our own worst enemies. You have these negative views about yourself, but if you try to critically think, And ask yourself, how do you validate your negative perception of your race? Some of you say, I've seen black kill black. I've seen us. But in reality, if you look at the number of incidents that you're referring to, it doesn't truly quantify the over 45 million African Americans in this country or the billions of black people globally. Your perception, your negative perception of your group has been ingrained into your mind by the white society's constant unrelenting propaganda. They constantly bombard us with negative information about ourselves, and that negative information become our reality. There is no black listener right now who is able to quantify his negative perceptions of his race. Now, you may, if you're not a critical thinker, if you think you can, you're being delusional. You're going to, but if you look at how many bad experiences, you say you've had bad experience with black women. How many have you had? Five? Three? Be honest. You say you had bad experience with black men. Five? Three? This is not enough to quantify your negative perceptions. Your negative experiences merely quantify it, solidified it in your mind that the negative perceptions of black people are true. You'll say, I know we ain't shit because I've seen it with my own eyes. But when you say that, you're actually saying that based upon your minimum experiences that doesn't actually quantify the negative view. There is a system that's being deployed against us, and we must recognize it. Because oppressors maintain their dominance by creating narratives that supports them. The basic tool, your perception of reality is a white deception. The basic tool necessary to distort reality is to control all the narratives. Because white people control all the narrative, this allows them to distort our perceptions of reality in order to perpetuate the illusion of white superiority. We must understand how this works. I'll give you an example. What if I told you that in reality, most inventions that enriches the lives of billions of people globally were invented by black people? What if I told you that in spite of cultural traumas wrought by the injustice of white racism and slavery, most inventions that have enriched the lives of billions of people around the world came from black people? Okay, I'm going to show you verifiable proof. And this, they're not teaching this to your children in schools because your children are being miseducated to believe in white superiority. Here are some verifiable proof. Do you know that without black people, there would not exist skyscrapers? This is because black people invented the elevator, the air conditioner, and central heating. I don't have to go into the names. Alexander Miles invented the elevator. Frederick Jones, the air conditioner. Alice Parker, a black woman, invented the furnace heater. Without black people, there wouldn't be any cars because black people invented the motor, the spark plug, and the earliest car called the horseless carriage. If you enjoy the internet, thank a black man named Philip Emeagle, a Nigerian computer science. He also invented a supercomputer in 1987 that led to the internet being built. He also invented the first the system to accurately forecast weather. If you enjoy sending email, thanks an African-American named Emmett Henry. If you enjoy digital cell phone, thank an African-American named Jesse Eugene. If you enjoy your PC monitor, thank an African-American named Dr. Mark Dean. If you enjoy fiber optics, a black man. Nanotechnology, a black man. If you enjoy watching 3D movie, a black man. The inventor of the laser optic for removing cataracts, a black woman. The home security alarm system, a black woman. If you enjoy a touch tone phone, caller ID, call waiting, a black woman. All by black, but these are, you're not hearing this. If you enjoy that light bulb when you turn it on every day, you've been given a false narrative that you should thank Thomas Edison. But Thomas Edison's light bulb was, he only rushed to get it patterned, but it was not efficient enough so no one bought it. Thank a black man named Louis Latimer. We are functioning based upon narratives that are designed to exalt white and marginalize us. You see, people do not function based upon reality. They do not function based upon facts. They function based upon the prevailing narratives that are fed into a society. So because white people control the narratives, they feed into society false narratives that exalts whiteness and marginalize black people, and then we function based upon the false reality. We have to understand how the system works. The mind functions based upon what is fed into your mind. Regardless of how intelligent a person may be, his mind it works based upon the information that is fed into it. So if it's possible to control the information that's fed into the collective mind, it's able to control how the people function. We function based upon the false narrative that whites are superior because our society is scripted to falsely exalt whites. Now, many of us notice when we look at Egypt, when they're paying Egyptian whites, we know that we're black, but our society gives a false reality. We function on a false reality.
And that reality has deleterious effects on us as a people consistently and continuously. The fact of the matter is that they continue to perpetuate it. Why? Because Caucasians, Europeans, whites suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior, and all the information that there's a plethora of it to prove otherwise, they ignore it. They dismiss it, and they continue to perpetuate that idea that they are. Even to this day, even though we know, it has been proven. Dr. Sheikh Anjis Jop did it in a symposium in 1974 in Cairo, saying, I can prove to you that the ancient Egyptian people, Kemetic people, were African, were dark-skinned people. His smoking gun? The melanin dosage test. They tried not to let him have access to mummies. But once that happened, he took the extract from the mummies to prove the amount of melanin in their skin, they were black.
And
but still today.
His study has been supported by DNA analysis in 2012 and 2013 on Pharaoh Ramsey III, his son, and several other mummies.
Yes.
The DNA confirmed that they were black, they were Africans.
But yet and still today, when you watch a movie, A dramatization or illustration, National Geographic, Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, and so forth. Once again.
They make them white.
Exactly.
What is this?
If there's somebody serving somebody,
yes,
they're going to be.
They'll become black. Now, social science described this nefarious tactic as instilling a value system into the minds of non-whites that makes us more compliant with white dominance over our lives. We have been socially engineered to believe that whites are supposed to rule over us. Another reason they do this is because they say people are inspired by the stories they believe by themselves. So the stories that we get are designed to inspire white people and diminish our self-esteem.
We have a caller, 703. Good afternoon, caller.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey. Hi, Oshi.
Hey, Felicia, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Listen, I wanted to interject, and this is something you and I have talked about, which is being a business owner. And I'm around other black business owners, and they believe that in their advertisement, they have to put a white face on all their advertisements so people won't know that they're black. And the fact is, you know, there may be some truth to the fact of the revenue that they receive from whites is based on the fact that they put a facade in all of their advertising. But my gut doesn't allow me to do that.
Right on, and, I say.
Yeah.
And then the folks that say, well, I don't deal with our people in business because they always do worse. And so, or don't stand up to the quality that I expect. And so if you have that mindset going in, thinking that the quality that you're going to receive because they're black, then you've already defeated black business, yourself, and your community.
True,
so that's how I see it.
I totally agree, totally agree.
I agree, definitely, because that's the mindset that we have been given.
Because I have a positive mindset about my people, because I understand the program, my experience, every day I have wonderful experience with black people. Every day I have beautiful experience with black people. Every single day. Because I am not programmed to only see the worst. Mm-hmm. So I have many beautiful encounters with my people.
Well, my contention is I've only seen the best. Yes, I know how rich it is. Believe me, I've been fortunate to have traveled. And I see our condition, you know, globally. And it is not good.
No.
It is not. But I'm positive. I look at what is the possibilities for us as African people. And I speak from that framework. I speak from that direction. Because I still believe, and I will always believe, that we as African people can get up out of this muck and mire that we're in. But it'll only happen when we come into our right mind. So, Felicia, you still there?
Yeah, I am. You know, and you've been to my location, and you know what the environment looks like around my place.
Right.
And
but, hey, you know, Felicia, you know, you're like an oasis. Felicia, in that environment, you're like an oasis, you know, because all around you is, you know, but you're like an oasis. It's in Richmond, Virginia, family. She's in Richmond, Virginia, and it's an outstanding dance studio that she has, working with a lot of good young people and so forth. But it's also in that neighborhood, that environment, you know, but I applaud you.
Well, I mean, like, as I've already told you, I have a great relationship with all of the folks in the neighborhood. They respect me, even though they've got other things going on in their life. And you know, it feels like on one hand, you know, I just want them to hear your program and be enlightened. But then on the other hand, it's just like the gentleman that was knocking on my door the day you were there. He said straight up, I just need some money to get a fix right now. And, you know, you can't fix me. You know, that's something I've got to deal with. And he knows that.
Right.
So he was absolutely right. I can't help him. I can't fix him. I can't enlighten him. He has to do that for himself. And that's the problem that we have in our community. Until you decide and make a conscious decision that you're going to be of your own people, be, have integrity in business, leave that environment that you have been programmed to believe that you should be on drugs and prostitution and sell drugs and get high in front of my studio right on the same block with the police station that does absolutely nothing. You know, it's just, and how we degrade each other, you know, our use degrading words toward each other, like your guest was saying, you know, calling each other out of our name and in so many ways. And sometimes the women are just as bad in my neighborhood and where my studio is. And, you know, but the cool thing is when I stick my head out and say, look, stop it. Go on down the street. I don't want to hear it. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Lady. So I do get the respect for the folks. So there's a few that have not achieved that respect for what I'm doing. And so every so often I get a stiff stare from folk.
Yeah.
So I still have to be cautious in the area. But for the most part, folks have been very respectful and all of that. It's just that where they are as a people, it pains me day to day to watch them go about their lives.
Right.
So, and it seems as though, you know, it's really not a whole lot I can do, but continue to provide good service, good product and hope that they see that in this community and continue to respect it and that grows. That's the whole thing I can do.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Thank you so much, Felicia. Appreciate you.
No problem. All right. Continue what you're doing.
Okay. Well, you know, as she was talking, I kept thinking about what she said earlier about there's been some people who have a business, mm-hmm. and on their literature, there's no indication that they're African, American African, because on their literature and at their receptions desk, the sales rep, because they feel if it is known that I'm African, American African, you know, I won't be supported. I can't get the contracts. I can't do this, that, or the other, you see. Because the belief that has been perpetuated, not by us, understand what we're saying here. These lies have been perpetuated by the people who are in control of this system, who are Caucasians, who are Europeans. They want everybody to believe that we are inferior, that we are incapable. And so that's why some of the people who want to do business will have Caucasian representatives, will have Caucasian images on their literature, who will have a Caucasian at the reception desk when somebody comes into their business, because they don't want those outside to know that they're African.
Remember the popular one when someone calls the business, they say, talk white.
Yeah, talk white. Yeah.
We've heard that one.
Yeah, you know. So we're in a tough situation as African people here in this country and globally. We're in a very tenuous position. And if we don't band together, if we don't close ranks and begin to do for ourselves, who knows what the future will hold for us? Or will there be a future? When you look at what is happening on the continent, when you look at what is happening in the diaspora, Dr. Clark said it best, we have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror until you like what you see. I ain't talking about your eyebrows being arched, the cleft in your chin, the shape of your... No, I'm talking about like who you see historically, like who you see culturally. Love your African self and love African people. And then when you walk from that mirror, you embrace who we are and will be willing to work together to change the dynamics that we see. We are under severe attack mentally. And it's a 24/7, 365 bombardment. That's why for those of us who have the courage to say what we're saying, but more importantly, to do what we're doing, I know there are some of us who will ridicule that because we've been so indoctrinated by the European mindset and the belief that who and what they are is superior and who and what we are is inferior. So they'll laugh at those of us who wear African clothes, who have an African name, who want to embrace our culture and our traditions. Because there are many of us who become really into the society and they don't want to be African. They want to be black. Because being black is in service to whites. We want to be just like them. We want to live in their community. We want them to hire us. We want them to promote us. We want to go to their schools. Just like what Brother said about, Brother Jay said about, Michael Eric Dyson. Probably sent his kid to a very wealthy school.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, when that happens, now he has to come to the school and then get off, you know, on the administrators and so forth about the attack and the environment that this kind of thing proposes. But the reality is that we are consistently, instead of doing something for ourselves and getting our own, we are consistently believing that what is Caucasian is better. Their schools are better. There's no doubt about it that at one time, before the integration, even though the Caucasians had all of the materials, the money for books and facilities and da, 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 but yet we had educators who loved us,
We had educators who lived amongst us in our community, who believed in us. And these educators, knowing that the parents were illiterate, knowing that other people, they tried their best and loved those students and believed in them and encouraged them. Some of those students now today are retired and some of them deceased. But some of those brothers and sisters did well within the society because they were given the education and the confidence in who they are. They didn't act white. They acted African, but with confidence in who they were and the ability to be competitive with anybody. But in today's world, it's a stark difference. Brother Frank just mentioned that why we are still 13% of this nation's population, but yet we have the youngest population in this country. American Africans have the youngest population in this country. But the reason why we're at a stagnant position is because of a number of factors of mass incarceration, homosexuality, growing with Caucasians, drug and substance abuse. There's a number of things why sisters can't find a man because of these factors. And also, too, the divisions which were created within our community by sisters having positions. They got jobs. They got the degrees. Where are the brothers? A sister asked me a question one time. She says, where are the men? It was a rhetorical question. But what she was saying, where are the real African, American African men? Because what she's seeing is boys. Where are the men who are self-defining and self-respecting? Where are the men who will be great fathers, husbands, community leaders? Where are the men when other communities have the support of that community of the men with their women and their wives? They run that community. I'm not a big proponent of male domination. I believe there's a complementarity. I believe that there's a symbiotic relationship between men and women, and they work together. But by the same token, we in this society, as men, have been neutered. We in this society have been effeminized. There are a lot of men who are weak in terms of being a man, in terms of being a father, in terms of being a husband, in terms of being a friend, a relationship. And some of these men who are boys, exactly what they are. They're boys who still want to play with toys instead of, and they shirk the responsibility. 70% of our sisters have a child that the father is nowhere present and don't intend to be present. There are some boys who've had 3, 4, 5 children and don't support nan one of them. We have a lot of issues. Let me get Jay in here.
I want to say something before.
Okay, go ahead.
I got 7 minutes. You know, so often we respond in a reactionary way. We respond to, if you look at black people talking in the 70s, we were talking in the 80s, we're talking about the 90s. We sometimes we come across expressing our frustration with the system, but we have to learn how the system works in order to overcome it. The rampant racism that we receive from the white masses is called, it's the herd mentality. The masses are programmed to believe they're superior. It's a small group of whites who are the ruling class who creates the narratives, who programs the racism into our society, who writes the scripts into our society. Once we understand how the system works, that's how we're going to overcome it. That's how we're going to eradicate it. Rather thinking from a point of frustration, we have to understand it's by design. It's a system. We have to understand our socialization in order to free ourselves.
Brother Jay, we've only got a couple of minutes, man. You still with us? You're breaking up on me. Jay? Hang up and call back, brother.
All right.
Oh, you're on. Speak.
No, he, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was clear, wasn't it? Yeah. But let me just say, you know, as we wind down, and I'm really thankful on Wednesdays that for many months, many programs, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix, online on Facebook, I would see some of his memes. And I was like, this brother, you know, he's somebody that I'm in tune with because what he's saying is what I'm saying. So I reached out to him. You know, brother Jay, go ahead.
You know, the bottom line is, Oshie, the system is going to be the system. The reality is, where do we place ourselves in the system, and what are we going to do to take advantage of the system or displace ourselves from the system? And by doing those things, what are you basically going to do to move your people forward? You know, I mean, at some point in time, I think we as a people have to give up on the system and look elsewhere and try to figure out where we're going to fit in here or abroad. Because this system is not geared for our liberation or for our freedom. It's not geared to really give us anything. It's geared to manipulate and to control us and for us to constantly give and get very little in return. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You know, what we don't really understand, in all honesty, is that this white man is more dangerous now than he's ever been because of the one thing. He's trying to survive. He's trying to keep control of this country. You know, especially with all of this talk about the population dynamic changing over the next couple of years. You know, the majority of people are going to be the people of color. So then one has to understand what is going to then be the behavior and the manipulation of this white man to continuously have control
and to hold on to the wealth. Right on, Jay. I appreciate it, brother. Go ahead.
He's absolutely right. Yeah. Well, although white societies perpetuate equality for all groups, they are unrelentingly committed to preservation of their white dominance. And to maintain a white dominance, they implement systems behind the scene all the time.
Right. And so the fact of the matter is that because that's how they manipulate, they still are in control. Yes. They may not have the numbers. They don't have the number. They never had the numbers in South Africa. They never had the numbers in Namibia. But yet, even to this very day, at this very moment, they are in control. Yes. In other parts of the world where they are a minority, because the bottom line is wherever they are and we are, they, Europeans, Caucasians, crackers, white folks, are in positions of authority and control. And we are in a subservient position. So I know we don't have very much time. Once again, I want to thank my brother who has been a co-host with me on Wednesdays.
Now he'll have
his own program. He'll start next week, and I'll be trying to get some guests in, more guests,
yes.
You know, on the days that I can. Because what this program and his program and others like it here on Time for an Awakening Media is all about is to waken us,
yes.
Open our minds, open our hearts to the realities of our situation, and so we could come together and solve these problems. Nobody's going to do this for us but us. It is not in the design for Caucasians to do it. I don't want to hear about no, you know, kumbaya. Damn that. We must, as African people, if we are to build a future for African people, must come together. And I'm talking about globally. I ain't just talking about here in Atlanta or in the United States. It's global.
The old system of racism deployed against us, you required a GED to understand it. Today, you almost require a PhD to understand it. Today, we must recognize racism has not been abandoned. It's evolving more sophistication. We must learn it and confront it and eradicate it.
And so because you don't expect, I know you don't expect Caucasians to end a program that has benefited them. It ain't in their mind to do it. That ain't going to happen.
Hell no.
Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds
of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they shown in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you will continue to listen. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodio. Abibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, Abibi Fahodio, it is in our hands. It is up to us. Let us come together to make it a reality. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Do something positive. Say something positive to all those brothers and sisters that you meet. Peace.